Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, at the beginning of our gospel reading in Luke chapter 3, we are drawn out into the wilderness where a bug-eating, camel-hair-wearing, leather-belt-girding, unkempt prophet is the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness and offering to sinners a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. We're called to hear his word, just as the people of Israel heard his word. John is the forerunner of Jesus, and he is calling for repentance, repentance of sins. And all manner of people are coming out into the wilderness to hear this word. And yet he says, who warned you to flee from the judgment? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And some of those people were struck to the core because they knew that they were sinners. You had people who had abundance, and when they passed by their fellow human beings, they looked the other way. And so John says, if you have two shirts, give one to the one who has none. And the same thing with food, John points out. Some people had more than they could possibly eat. And they kept it for themselves. And so John says, give to those who are hungry. And you've got tax collectors, and it's pretty much a given that tax collectors during this time were often defrauding people. They weren't happy with their normal wages, and so they extorted people for more money. So they decided to take more, and so they could take more off of the top. And he tells them to make it right, to give back to what give back to people what is owed them. And then, of course, there's King Herod, who John holds back nothing. For King Herod had taken his brother Philip's wife in adultery, and he called him out on it, and many of the other things that he did. John did not hold back telling the people to repent. He's preparing the way for the Lord, the one mightier than him who is coming. He is the voice of the one calling out in the wilderness. John is the Lord's prophet. And yet, before anyone starts getting the idea that he is someone who he isn't, like the Messiah, he says, I baptize you with water, but one who is mightier than I is coming, whose strap of the sandals I am not worthy to untie. Not even worthy enough to stoop down and untie these dirty, dusty sandals. This one who's coming, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, John's baptism was about preparation for the coming Messiah. It's for the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John is the forerunner of Christ. He prepares the way. And the way goes through repentance. John's baptism is meant to point forward to Jesus, the mighty one who will purify his people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He's the center of everything, and he will gather his faithful and bring judgment to those who reject him. Now, needless to say, John's word was not everywhere well received. And especially not by Herod as he locked him up. And yet he still offers this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Now, we are situated on the other side. In fact, the mighty one has come. And we have the full revelation of who he is. It's Jesus Christ, our Savior. We have received a different baptism. Specifically, the baptism that Jesus has given to us. The baptism in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is a different baptism than what John was offering in our reading today. Both involve water, but we are baptized into Jesus. We're baptized into His forgiveness and life. We're baptized in the name of the triune God. And so we hear John's words a little bit differently than from those first hearers of the people of Israel in the wilderness. However, his words of repent, they still sting. Because we still have this sin that clings to our old selves. And it rears its ugly head so often. And it needs to be put to death. We still need to hear that word to repent, as long as there is still sin in our lives. In fact, our whole daily lives as Christians are lives of repentance. We are justified in Christ now, and yet we're still sinners at the same time until Jesus returns. So we need to hear that word. But I would venture to say that it's okay to hear repentance, right, for the big sins that, quote, other people commit. But because we're still sinners, we don't like it when God's word starts poking around at our favorite sins. The ones that we easily make excuses for. When we're confronted with our selfishness in the mirror in comparison to God's standards. It's uncomfortable. We don't like it when God's word starts convicting us of the things that we think are just, quote, innocent little sins. But nothing could be further from the truth. There's no such thing as an innocent little sin. Sin is sin, no matter how big or how small. We like to make it by comparing it to others. Embracing sin in any way is contrary to our lives in Christ. We must call it for what it is. If we allow sin to rule our lives, then we are lost. What would Jesus then want to do with sinners? The mighty one, whose sandals John is not even worthy to untie. What would this Jesus have to do with sinners, people who are broken and sin in so many ways that is attached to even the times when we try to do good? We still find our selfishness right there. What does this Jesus have to do with sinners? Jesus comes. The mighty one whose sandals John is not fit to untie, he comes and he walks out into the Jordan River and he is baptized too. Here he is, the Son of God, who does not need any repentance, but he receives this baptism of repentance. He counts himself among sinners. So I invite you to take a look at the bulletin cover this morning. This is a painting by Tintoretto. And what I find striking about this bulletin cover is that Jesus here, when he's being baptized, he comes and he kneels down. He gets low, down into the waters. Down into the waters where those sinners were baptized. He lowers himself. He didn't need to repent. He had no need to repent. He is without sin. And yet he lowers himself down to where the sinners are. He joins himself in the company of sinners. He counts himself among sinners. He joins himself to people like you and me. That is something that he has done throughout his whole earthly ministry. The sinless Son of God, time and time again, hung out and ate with sinners. He brought healing, forgiving, saving life to people who needed it. And he gave his very life for us when he was crucified on the cross with a thief on each side, counted among sinners. But Jesus counting himself among sinners is a wonderful thing for us. Because if Jesus is with sinners, then that means he does not leave them in their sin. He does not leave them in its power. He brings victory and life. That's what Jesus has done for you on the cross. He conquered sin and its power, and by his death, he defeated death. And he was raised on the third day for our justification. And you have been given forgiveness and life in Jesus. If Jesus is with you, then that means you have life. So in Jesus, there is no condemnation. But how are we in Jesus? How are we placed in him? Well, it's by faith alone, by trusting in his promises for us. And God has poured those promises out upon you in the baptism that he commanded at the end of Matthew chapter 28, as we mentioned just a little while ago, when he says, "Go, therefore, making disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." This baptism is different than John's. John's baptism was for preparation. But the baptism that you have received, many of you, even at this very font, is a baptism where you are connected to Jesus. You are connected to his death, and you are connected to his life. His death is your death to sin. His life is your life to God. "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death," Paul writes, "in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." You are connected to Jesus in your baptism, in those baptismal waters. And so, when Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, he joined himself to sinners, taking on the place of being a sinner that he did not deserve. And yet in your baptism that you have received, you are joined to Jesus. And you receive all of the forgiveness and the life that he gives to you this day. Amen.